Hello, listeners. Welcome to season 7 of our Big Unlock podcast. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm a managing partner here at Big Rio and Demo Consulting, and I'll be your host today for the Big Unlock podcast. Today, we are looking forward to a conversation with Dr. Angela Shippey, and we warmly welcome her to the podcast. Dr. Shippey has been director and senior physician executive and clinical innovation lead at Amazon Web Services for over 5 years. She leads executive engagement for healthcare and life sciences. Her work focuses on bridging operations and technology to enable and accelerate transformation for providers, payers, pharma, biotech, health tech, and device organizations. And we're really looking forward to a very engaging conversation with Dr. Shippey. So welcome to the podcast once again.
Thank you, Ritu. It's great to be here. And thank you for having me.
Dr. Shippey, would you like to add anything to that introduction? I had lots more to say, but I had to make it concise because you've done so many wonderful things. So I just included the very last, the very most recent bits. But if you think we should add anything else, please go ahead.
I think the one thing I would add is there are many times when people will say, how did you end up at Amazon Web Services? And truly, it was because I have been an end user of technology my entire career. I started my residency a few days early because we were all mandated to use a very early version of CPOE or computerized physician order entry. And all along the way, I've continued to use technology, whether it was being a physician champion for Palm Pilot, electronic documentation, putting together templates with the informatics team. It's always been a part of my career. And like so many of my colleagues in response to the COVID pandemic, it really was an opportunity to bring data together. So for the first time ever in my organization, my previous organization, we brought together clinical and operational data in a dashboard that we were using on a regular basis. And that really opened up for me seeing in real time how having all the right data in the right place truly allowed us to treat a patient population that was in need and know exactly what they needed. And that really spurred me to take advantage of being able to come onto this team and help my colleagues across the country and actually across the world be able to do this.
Great. Thank you for sharing that with us. And we usually get to this a little bit later in the podcast, but now that you've told us this, we would love to hear your origin story even prior to that. How did you decide to become a physician? Because you told us about technology, but how did you, decide to become a physician?
Sure. Well, it's a funny story if you think about a 9-year-old little girl who had a teacher who told her that she was really good at science. Mm-hmm. And so my fourth grade teacher said, you know what, you're really smart and you're really good at science. And so I translated that to mean, well, if you're really good at science and you're really smart, then you should be a doctor. And then I decided, well, if I'm going to be a doctor, then I should be a neurosurgeon because the brain is the hardest thing and the most important part of the body. And so for many, many years, through the rest of elementary school going in, I was focused, I'm going to be a doctor and I'm going to be a neurosurgeon. And at the time, I think I used the term brain surgeon. And what's so funny about it is I transitioned to later, in high school, college, really thinking, you know what, I would love to be an OB-GYN. I would love to deliver babies. That would be so much fun. And when I got to medical school, it was my very first rotation. And I loved it. I was so excited. It's a 6-week rotation. I started in labor delivery. It was so much fun. And then I got to the surgical part of it, which is a little bit different. It's bladder repairs and hysterectomies and also with the oncologic patients. And I was like, okay, this isn't the part that I was excited about. I was excited about just delivering babies. And so then I realized, you know what, this is probably not quite the specialty for me. My next rotation was internal medicine. I loved it. Internal medicine is the gateway to so many specialties. And I ended up being an internal medicine physician and practiced as a hospitalist for many years.
Great. Thank you for sharing that story with us. And a big shout out to, any teachers out there who are listening, because that's so inspirational, the words from them who set you on this path. Thank you for sharing that. So Dr. Shippey, you bring, like you mentioned, you're working with technology for so long and you bring together this perspective of a practicing physician, a former health system executive, and a technology leader to really help these organizations think about what's possible in this new era of, you know, cloud computing and generative AI. So in your experience working with all these, you know, so many health systems, what separates the organizations that are truly or genuinely transforming with AI from those who are just, you know, trying different things, trying pilots and just deploying like isolated use cases? What would you say, you know, really differentiates those two?
Sure. Well, first, there's a couple of things. One, I would say that right now, so many of our customers are thinking about what are their biggest pain points. They're focused on what do their operations look like, their clinical operations, what's throughput look like. They're also looking at operational efficiency. Are they able to, with the day-to-day logistics and operations, actually take care of the current patient population? Then they're looking at their workforce. Do they have enough nurses? Do they have enough allied health professionals? Where are they in terms of physicians in each specialty and what do they need? So they're really looking at the entire picture. And that's making them say, what do I want to do with this new and emerging technology of generative AI and agentic AI to be able to go to the next step? And so those organizations right now that we're seeing that are doing the best work are those that are saying, one, which particular problem am I working backwards from them to ensure that I solve? And two, what am I doing to scale beyond just that initial pilot that I might have started in a particular area? And so I'll give you an example. So when I look at UCSD, they are using one of our purpose-built solutions that we have for healthcare, which is Amazon Connect Health. That's allowing them to engage with patients in a way that's a lot different and to be able to use technology so that that engagement with the patient is very meaningful. Being able to verify that patient when they first make that contact center call, being able to direct that call to the right part of the organization, being able to use all of the data that they have related to that patient to direct them in the right way or to provide them with a quick, prompt, and accurate answer. So for them, this has meant like 3.2 million contacts with patients. It's allowed them to have a reduction in the time and the hours that their call center staff is actually spending on those calls. And it's also allowed them to have a 30 to 60% reduction in abandoned calls depending on the department. What that translates to, one, an organization who said, we need to improve how we connect with our patients and improve their experience. They were able to utilize a purpose-built service to get it done and meaningful interaction with a patient that meant that patient was either getting to preventative care, managed care, chronic managed care, prescriptions, anything that they needed, they were able to get there faster and more accurate, which really does translate to the patient having a better experience. And we know that patients that have a better experience also have better outcomes in terms of health. And the last thing I will say about that is when we see that engagement at that level with patients and we see them being able to access the parts of the healthcare continuum that they need, is we also know that those are patients that continue with that same healthcare system. So when you go back to those big problems that they're trying to solve and you talk about operational efficiency, then you've got that there as well, because that's helping you ensure that the patients that you have in your network and in your system are staying there with you. So really those systems that are focusing in on what's most important, those are the ones who are really advancing beyond just having a pilot.
Great answer. And thank you for telling us about AWS Connect. You know, I was reading up on that and how you're using all these agentic, these autonomous agents to do the patient navigation, appointments, rescheduling and ambient. And you've really, you know, combined all of that. So I think that leads into a very important next question, which is that AWS has invested heavily in, you know, helping these organizations build scalable data foundations before they can like deploy AI. But so many executives still want to jump straight to the next, you know, new shiny toy or the new next gen AI application. So how do you really, when you talk to these healthcare leaders or to these large health systems like UCSD, how do you help them resist this temptation of chasing the, you know, newest technology, but tell them that they first have to build this foundational capability first to, you know, enable them to then deploy the solution successfully?
One of the things I really enjoy about the work that I do is having the opportunity to talk to my colleagues across the country about what they're doing. And when we have those discussions, we talk a lot about, yes, let's talk about what you want to do and get to the end. But keeping in mind that in order to meet those goals, they have to first think about their data. Do they have data that's clean, available as their foundation? We know that right now, 97% of the data in healthcare does not get used. And a big part of that is because it's unstructured and it's from so many disparate sources. So part of that initial conversation is about how do we bring all that together? How do we take all that disparate data and turn it into real information that can become insights? And then being able to use agentic AI to be able to make sure that they can take that data, they can take that information and turn it into actionable insights, whether that's going to be for the patient experience, whether that's going to be for their clinician's experience, whether that's for research. If they're a payer organization, it can help them with member and population management. If it's for research, it can help you have more insights quickly. It can help you get to, if it's for a pharma company, it can help you can get to drug discovery even faster. That's what we talk about, that foundation of the data being clean and being in the format that allows you to use these agentic tools.
Great. So that also kind of leads into the next question, because you know, you mentioned that you started this technology and IT training even before you started your residency. Like you said, you joined a couple, you know, few days earlier. But today's CIOs, CMIOs, and digital leaders need to understand all this new technology and new jargon, you know, cloud architecture, AI, cybersecurity, and the AI is, you know, changing at such a rapid pace. Like now it's almost like weekly, or, you know, you have to keep up with so many different things. So what would be your advice to like the CIOs and CMIOs out there? How do they keep abreast and how do they stay relevant to be able to decide what the hospital system should use? They first have to understand everything themselves. So how do they kind of do that when, you know, the pace of change is so rapid?
Well, one of the things I appreciate about our customers is they too have a curiosity about what's happening from a technology standpoint. They're standing side by side with us and wanting to learn. So there's a couple of things I would say. I mean, one is, I mean, we have thousands of customers who run workloads on AWS, and we have earned their trust over time. So they see us as a source of that information. We also feel a commitment to help them continue to learn as we have this rapidly changing environment right now as it relates to technology. So there's a couple different ways that we do that. One is certainly we have summits. Right now I'm at DC Summit, which gives them an opportunity to come and learn and hear from their peers and hear what they're doing. And we're really showcasing what our customers are doing right now. The other way that we do this is we have training and certification that's available for them to learn. Much of it is free and available for not only those leaders, but for their teams to be able to use. We have committed ourselves to have a fellowship program where we're bringing those up and coming leaders from health systems are able to come through a fellowship program and learn more about technology. And as they continue to advance in their career, how they'll think about working not only with the technology in general, but very specifically with AWS as well. And we also are dedicated to upskilling. We know that across every worker within healthcare and life sciences, each one of them, their day-to-day jobs will change because of the tools that are available. And so we want to make sure that they have an understanding of that. And so we're helping to upskill and bring those programs that are out there and available to them so that they can do that and do their job a little bit differently. The reason this is so important for the CIOs and the CTOs is, one, we know that there's a significant administrative burden that all of their workforce that they're responsible for has, and we know these tools can help to decrease that. And so we want to make sure that we're giving them the opportunity to learn more and more about that so that they can do it. But I will tell you, like when you're here at like a DC summit, the energy that is here, especially across public sector customers who all are mission-driven, highly regulated industries, who are really looking to AWS to continue to be that partner that's going to help them as it relates to secure environments, Do we have, you know, managed AI layers that are really important to them that allow them to be able to deploy quickly without having to dig into every single aspect of the technology or every part of their team to do that? And also being able to say there are purpose-built services that have guardrails in place that also help them from another level of security. Those are all aspects of what we're doing right now to ensure that our CIOs and CTOs have folks on their team that are knowledgeable, where we're supporting them, we're supporting their teams, and we're supporting their organizations and the goals that they have that are going to be met by the latest technology that's out there.
So you're saying that this technology can really be an enabler for them and help them do their job better and result in
absolutely
all those kinds.
There's no doubt. Like, yeah, it's an enabler. It's an accelerator. It's allowing them to, yes, to the question you asked earlier, to start with a proof of concept, but then to really scale it out across the entire organization. There's no doubt. Like right now, we're working side by side with our customers to allow them to be able to meet these goals. And we want them to be able to look to us at AWS and to be able to say, we have solutions that are here for them. And I'll give you an example of that. So we also have Amazon Biodiscovery. This is a new technology that is allowing our pharma customers to be able to move so much faster. The time it takes to research, to take all of the data from that research, be able to put it in place to get to the discovery of a new drug, that takes years. Now, by being able to take this technology with Amazon Biodiscovery, be able to put all of these components in and help them get to the answers and the insights they need so much faster than they ever had before, that's going to decrease the time it takes to develop the next drug. That might mean that the next drug that we need for cancer within the oncology space is developed so much faster. That's more life saved. That's a real opportunity there. And so that's exciting to think about. And we really look forward to continuing to take this ongoing drug discovery in this particular case and say, what can we do next? What can we learn from here? What can we iterate and innovate on in this space?
Yeah, that's exactly what the next question was going to be about, because, you know, healthcare leaders often talk about moving from data to insights. So that's where they are right now. But increasingly, the conversation is shifting towards moving from insights to autonomous action. So like we said, the pace is so rapid that now, you know, you can do things which you didn't even like imagine a year ago. So as these cloud platforms are evolving to support, you know, AI agents and intelligent workflows, like you described with Amazon Connect, then how do you envision the role of, you know, health systems changing over the next few years? Like, will we still be thinking in terms of, you know, software applications, or are we saying that the patient is going to see this, you know, really seamless, almost like invisible kind of technology that'll just help them without, you know, passwords and like thousands of clicks and just getting stuck at every point? What is your vision for this?
Right. I think that right now what we're seeing is we will see an evolution. We will see that it's easier to access technology. We will see that more and more of the processes right now that might be very manual, that require multiple people and steps, we're going to see those become more automated. And our customers are going to be right there, and we're going to be with them, helping to make those changes and helping to see what that looks like. What that can mean is it can really change where health systems spend their time and do their work. I'll give you an example of that. You heard us make an announcement this week about what we're doing with the Fleming Initiative. This is specifically around antimicrobial resistance. So if you think about it right now, every provider organization understands that they have infections in their community. Some of them are resistant to antimicrobial therapy. They have whole departments of infection preventionists who are following this and their surveillance, they're reporting it. And so now we're partnering with this initiative. And one of the things that this is going to do is take antimicrobial resistance is extremely important to these health systems. Right now, every 11 seconds, somebody is being diagnosed with a resistant infection. Every 15 seconds, somebody dies from it. So we know that this is significant. Being able to have a global platform where we're connecting 150 countries, where they're bringing together all of this information to get to the point where we are minimizing this resistance that's out there. That's going to change the way they practice. That's going to change how patients receive antimicrobial therapy. That's going to change patients who right now are being diagnosed and we're seeing also dying from these infections. That's going to change those numbers. That's what we're talking about. That's very significant. When you start to automate practices that right now we have infection preventionists doing perhaps on a spreadsheet, then you're able to take that same expertise that they have and deploy it to another part of the organization to allow them to be used in a different way, to take away that administrative burden, and to help patients have better outcomes because they're not being treated with perhaps an antimicrobial therapy that's not working for them, or having to have a second course of therapy because the first one didn't completely cure that infection. Those are really big leaps that are all about technology, that are all about being able to automate and use agentic to get to those insights faster, to be able to change clinical care.
Wow. So that'll be like, that's truly, you know, scaling to really multiply that impact and reach, you know, save lives. And great example. Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Shippy. I also wanted to ask you a little more about, you know, the Children's Health Innovation Awards, because I was reading about that and that sounded so amazing that, you know, you have this remarkable portfolio and you are working with these different hospitals to really change this trajectory of pediatric care. So tell us more about that and what these awards are about and what have you really seen with the health systems that you worked with.
The CHIA, or Children's Health Innovation Awards, that was an opportunity to be able to say, here we have a population with children, and they're not many adults. They have rare diseases. They have genetic diseases. And if you think about children's hospitals, they're standalone entities usually, or maybe they're associated with an academic medical center or an academic institution, but still, they're smaller in scale than adult hospitals. So putting these awards in place was about helping them bring their information together. How could we help them accelerate the genomic testing that they're doing and the genomic research that they're doing? Same, how could we help them accelerate what they're doing with rare diseases? Then how can we help them come together on platforms where all of this data from different parts of the ecosystem related to children's diseases, whether it's a research institution or a children's hospital, how could we help them bring that together? And then if you take all these smaller populations and you aggregate them, then you've got more data that can help you get to an insight faster. So that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to be able to help them get to those insights faster in the research they were doing. We wanted to be able to make an impact on those providers that are taking care of children right now. So some of those funds were used for initiatives that are happening within those children's hospitals. And the other thing we wanted to do was also to shed a light on the importance of rare disease research and research in genomics and what that can lead to in the future. And with we have purpose-built service, Healthomics, that's going to help overall with how we get to insights faster from the gene therapy and research that's happening. So that's why we get really excited about being able to give out awards like that. And I'll give you another example. We spent 5 years with our health equity initiative where we were helping organizations look at underserved communities, access to care, insights and data related to ensuring that patients, no matter where they lived, whether it was in a rural community, whether it was in an underserved community, whether they were an underserved population, be able to have access to technology. So over 5 years, that was a $90 million commitment. 600 organizations helped. And we really were able to help some of our customers get to the point where they had insights that have been really impactful. So BabyScripts, for instance, was able to diagnose preeclampsia faster. Why is that important? Eclampsia is one of those true medical emergencies within a pregnant patient. So being able to get to diagnosis faster, that's huge. Being able to help a company in Uganda be able to take care of those at-risk babies for the 6 weeks after delivery, being able to ensure that they were able to attend their postnatal visit, a 275% increase in the postnatal visit being completed, and being able to decrease mortality as well. Those are really big insights and impacts to have from funds that we are really excited to give and support, either with technology embedded to help improve the application or with technical support in that application being built on AWS. It's really exciting to be able to do that.
That's great. I hope some of the listeners out there, you know, maybe they'll get to know about this CHIA program and maybe this can reach a bigger audience and help other health systems apply for these grants. So thank you for sharing with us. Yeah. So as usual, the time has flown by, Dr. Shippy. You're almost already at the end. So any closing thoughts you would like to share? Any visions that you've seen in the crystal ball coming up? Where do you think technology is heading? We used to ask in the next 3 years, then we started asking in the next year. Now it's like, what do you think is coming in the next 3 months? Because it's happening so fast. So if you would like to share with the listeners, you know, that would be great.
I think one of the things that's been so exciting in the work that we're doing with our customers is watching them start small, but think big and never losing sight of where it is they're trying to get to. And they're trying to get to better patient experiences. They also want better experiences for their workers. They want to ensure that that administrative burden is taken away. And they want folks to be working, as we say, at the top of their license. So research is to really be able to go fast, accelerate, and get to those insights that are going to help them get from bench to bedside faster. To help the nurse and the physician who are at the bedside really be able to interact with that patient face to face, eye to eye, and not down looking at a keyboard, but because of ambient listening, being able to look up and look into the eyes of the patient, being able to help discovery of new drugs and new applications of devices, being able to get there faster. Like, it's really exciting to work side by side with our customers as they're doing that. And the other thing that I'll say that's becoming very abundant, and I think our customers are starting to see as well, is in healthcare, you want to be at the forefront of utilizing this technology. And in being at the forefront, understanding that the next big discoveries that are really going to happen are most likely going to happen with someone, whether it's an individual researcher, clinician, or an organization that either has an agent by their side or agentic technology that they've deployed across the organization. So whether it's coming from the bottom up, from the frontline staff, or from the top down, from the leadership, really embracing this technology and putting it to use to improve the experiences of everyone involved across the continuum of care is really going to make a difference. And one, the experience, but two, our overall health, the overall health of all of the populations that are served. And that's really exciting as we look forward.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing all those insights with us, Dr. Shippy, and thank you for bringing this transformational change to, you know, huge numbers of people. It's exciting to see you doing that. So thank you for being on our podcast today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Ritu. It was great to be here.
Thank you.